You do bad things. You know you do. I won't point to you, but you know you do. We all do. We do bad things, and then we try to figure out why we do bad things. Now, there are two ways of figuring out why you do bad things. One is called finding a reason, and the other is called rationalizing. The rationalizing way is always someone else's fault. It's true that I yelled at him, but really he was obnoxious. In which you admit what you did, but it's always a prelude to say that someone else did something worse to make you do it. The second way is to actually seriously seek a reason about why it is that we do things that we then later regret. And I want to offer you a couple theories. They're not my theories. And then throw in a third thinker who actually represents what I would say in a consensus way is the Jewish theory about why you do bad things. The first, at the outset of Western philosophy, was Socrates, who thought that we do bad things because we don't understand the good. That if we understood the good better, if we really knew what was in our own interest, we would do the good. And so, bad behavior is less a moral failure than it is a failure of understanding. And education is the answer to evil. All you have to do is point out to people who do bad things the way in which that evil twists, darkens, impairs, ruins their soul. And because everyone wishes their soul to be enlightened and pure, we'll all do good and everything will be fine. Socrates, by the way, parenthetically, was condemned to death by an Athenian court and died of drinking hemlock. So somebody didn't agree with him, but that was his theory. Now, that wasn't the theory of all the ancient Greeks, and it certainly wasn't the theory of all the moderns, who tended more to favor the broad ideas of Freud, which is that we are driven by drives that we do not and maybe even cannot understand. You know the good, you see the good, you intend to do the good, and then you go out and do something rotten. And even though you understand, even while you're doing it, I should not be doing this right now. Lo and behold, you still do this right now. And it's not a failure of understanding. It's rather that there are these roiling passions, these conflicting drives, these deep embedded experiences and ideas and impulses inside of us that we cannot understand and we cannot control. And they will, like a plant bursting through soil, burst through all of our layers of understanding and make us do things that later on we'll say, not just we shouldn't have done it, but we will separate ourselves from the person who did it. We'll say, phew, I don't know, when I did that, it really wasn't acting like me. Or I wasn't myself when I did that, even though you weren't anyone else, so you must have been yourself. Now, Freud, of course, and much of psychology and psychiatry, doesn't just say, and therefore we have to throw up our hands and do rotten things to each other all the time. They have a prescription. And the prescription is we have to understand ourselves better. Insight will make you better. And that's what I want to argue against this morning. I'm not against insight. I think insight's a really good thing. I'm all in favor of insight. But I have become more and more skeptical, more and more doubtful about how much insight actually changes people. 1,000 times in the course of the year, we hear something that makes a lot of sense and really applies to our lives and doesn't change us at all. If insight made us better, then all the psychologists and all the talk shows and, yes, all the rabbis and all the people who constantly publish self-help books and books of wisdom and books of insight would have produced the most enlightened and kind public in the world. And if you think that that's true, then you've never tried to drive on the streets of Los Angeles. So there's something wrong here. The theory was, if only we understood ourselves, and we are the most psychologized, treated, Oprah-fied population in the history of the world. You not only can get to hear Oprah every week, you can hear her every day, and she's probably on reruns, and every single day she brings on psychologists and psychiatrists, and they'll all tell you, and they'll give you insight, and you'll say, wow, that's really true, and you'll turn off the TV and scream at your kids. Now, why is that? Because of the title of this sermon, which I have decided to call Wisdom is Easy, Change is Hard. It's easy to get advice. It's just hard to do it. And they're not the same thing. And you can know what is good and know what is right and be stuffed full of wisdom and still act in a way that later you think was unwise. And that's a problem. We see it in this morning's Haftarah. Samson is announced by an angel. An angel comes to Manoach and his wife and says, a child's going to be born to you. And Manoach says, let's find out what we should do with this child. So not only is he have a child who's announced by an angel, but he asks God for advice on how to raise the child, and he gets advice. God says, do this, don't do that, do the other thing. And he raises the child that way. And Samson, from a very early age, knows that he is chosen by God. And he refrains from wine, and he doesn't cut his hair, and he's filled with all the wisdom and insight of the Torah, and then he does all sorts of rotten things. And you think to yourself, what are we supposed to do? And here, don't despair, is where I turn to what I think in some ways is the best answer. And it comes from a modern psychologist, a brilliant man who I think was the most, even though he himself was not Jewish, was the most Jewish in some ways of all the great psychological and psychiatric thinkers. His name was William James. And William James once wrote an essay called Habit. And this is what he said. He said, goodness is a habit like any other habit. And part of the problem is we think of goodness as this grand design, and we forget that if you get used to being good, it becomes a habit, just like if you get used to being bad, it becomes a habit. If you pass by the first 10 beggars on the street, passing by the 11th will be easy. It's your habit. If you give to the first 10, by the time the 11th comes along, you give without thinking because you have become used to the habit of being good. If you make sure you never scream at your kids, then the ones you do will feel strange because that's not your usual way of being. And you will, as in most things, go back to your default setting, your habit, which is speaking softly. In other words, says James, you have to deliberately set out to change the way you act, which is not always a product of insight, it's a product of will. Of will. I'm going to do this because this is the end I want to reach to. And even though I may not understand why my parents raised me the way they did, or what effect it had that I moved from city A to city B when I was 8 years old, or that we had a pet who died when I was 12, even though I don't understand that, I know this is the kind of person I want to be, so I will do it. Now let me reframe what James said in a Jewish way. I'll do the mitzvot even though I don't feel like it. That's what a mitzvah is. It's an attempt to make us good by making us do things, sometimes even when we don't feel like doing them. It's an attempt to form in us good habits. It's funny, we talk about good habits, but they almost always refer to health. They never refer to goodness. It's a good habit to brush your teeth. I have good habits. I go to sleep early and I get up early. But good habits should also be habits of goodness. And that takes some work, because wisdom is easy, but change is hard. I know that, because what I have just given you is wise. But most of you won't do it. I say it's wise not because I thought of it, but because I gave you the best advice of William James and the Jewish tradition. So I know that it's a wise thing to do, but change is hard. We're coming up to the summer, and then to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, to the time of the year when we're supposed to begin to think about our lives. And thinking about your life is supposed to be a prelude to changing it. There is no virtue to introspection alone, to understanding if it has no effect in the world, to knowing who you are if it doesn't help change you into who you can be. That's why the Torah says, I have set before you this day life and death. Ubacharta bechayim. Choose life. It doesn't just say understand life or appreciate life, though those are wonderful things, but to choose it, to change. To really study Torah is not an intellectual exercise alone. It has to involve all of you. All of you, your heart, your soul, your limbs, your head, your eyes, your ears, your words. A man came to the rabbi, and he said to him, Rabbi, I don't want to brag, which of course means he's about to brag, but I want you to know that I have been through the entire Talmud 3 times. And the rabbi said, that's wonderful. What I would like to know is how much of the Talmud has been through you. Wisdom is easy. Change is hard. As we approach the summer and the new year, let us hope that we grow wise, but let us be certain that we do change. Shabbat Shalom.